So those change you look right now.
Yeah.
When they start going, even sometimes like giving me old movies.
I'd like to call this Emergency Congressional Affairs Committee meeting to order. The date is July 13th, 2016. The time is 10:05 a.m. Roll call, please.
Otto Hamilton.
Present.
Shannon Edwards. John Maker.
Here.
Joe Tillman.
Here.
RJ Walker.
Here.
Okay, we will have Congresswoman Edwards joining us shortly by WebEx. We have a quorum present. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Congressman Maker, will you say the prayer?
I'd be honored. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this beautiful day. We want you to be here and guide us as we do the business of our nation. Please bless us with the wisdom and knowledge and courage and strength that you've given the leaders of our past. As we go forward to the future, bless all the old, our people, elders, the children, and all of our people. And our service members away from home and bring them home to their families safe. He seems to be asking Christ.
Next item is approval of minutes. Please look over the minutes from May 31st. RJ, do you have the minutes?
No, not yet.
Can you give some to me?
Would you want the clerk to send some to you?
That's right. There's a form there that's able to approve them. I'll just say. You gonna need my vote?
I believe we're going to need you to second Sean Makers.
Who was absent?
He was out.
Okay.
The seller said you came.
Such a, you came that day.
I thought y'all reviewed, so has there been a motion made to approve?
We're still looking for them.
Since this is a new body, you know, I believe you're looking over the minutes from the former Congressional Affairs Committee, is that correct?
Correct.
I would suggest that you just have a motion to allow the second speaker to approve the minutes, because you're not going to have enough votes of people who were on the committee before to approve the minutes. We do a similar thing with the speaker approving minutes of the session at the end of this. After the end of the session.
I make a motion to suspend the rules and allow the second speaker to approve the minutes of the former committee. Under the circumstances, the new committee here and all the other members of office.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say yes.
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 Minutes are for my approval. Next item on the agenda, we have an item that we have not, it's not on the agenda, it's the discussion of the election of a vice chair to the CA committee. So without objection, do we want to go into that right now? To elect a vice chair of the CA committee?
Thank you. I'll make a motion that we open nominations to select a vice chair of the city committee.
Do you have a nomination?
I nominate Maria Weissman.
I don't know if she has to, I just got invited to city.
Make a motion to nominate RJ Walker.
We got a motion to nominate RJ Walker for the vice chair of the CA committee. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Discussion. RJ, are you okay with that?
Yes, it makes me no good. Maria, do you want to do it?
I'm not on the committee, I'm just here at the meeting.
I thought you were on.
I didn't.
You're not on the committee, nominated to be vice chair, is that what I heard?
It was pulled back when I made no eyes at John that I'm on the committee.
Yeah, I'd be honored to be the vice chair.
All right, all in favor, say yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Those opposed, no. Congressman Walker will be the vice chair of CA committee. Move along to item number five, payables. Do we have any payables at this time?
No, sir.
Clerks, if we have no payables? How much? We have two items of travel to be considered. The first one is for Congresswoman Bufflehead to attend the Northern California Osage Gathering in August.
If you guys will look at the second, the back of this, I wasn't here the day that she came and signed this authorization, so I did another one. So the correct information on that.
This is the correct one.
This is the correct one, but she signed this one to say that that's where she's going to go, if that makes sense. Shanna took this information. I was absent that day, so. So that's the number I highlighted for approval. I just got some more accurate.
Don't these forms change?
Mm-hmm.
We approved them last year. It's in the minutes, we just.
Are these with the same form?
I believe so. This is what the nation uses, these forms?
Yes, very similar to the nation.
Well, the only thing I point out by this authorization on the first one is for 428. And on the second one, it's like 1,149.
Well,
the reason the authorization on the first one is lower than what's on the back side is I didn't realize until after Congresswoman Bufflehead had left that the form didn't automatically move the hotel and the airline over into the other column. So I had to adjust that, but the form that she actually signed was the one with the 428, and she was going to be out of town all this week, so I wasn't going to be able to get a signature, so I changed the amounts to the correct amount and attached it to the signed form. The numbers are pretty much the same, except with the exception of the signature.
Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Chairman. This meeting in Northern California, that is their annual, biannual gathering. Do they have an agenda of what they're doing out there that we see? Do they have a program that's...
All we've seen was a save the date notice.
Right.
That's all we've seen on it so far. It was kind of a last minute deal.
Is there, and just being new, that this is the only request for travel, the only congressional member that's wanting to attend Northern California? There's another one too.
Congressman Edwards has a
okay.
request.
Okay.
and Congressman Brown.
So we're here to approve those one at a time. My question is, just to ask, because I don't know, what if we all wanted to go? What if all 12 members wanted to go? Would that be allowable? Now we're looking at $12,000.
Well, we have a travel stipend here.
Yes, sir.
And we use the agreed amount upon is, I believe, is it $2,000?
$2,000 a member.
Per member?
A year.
So they get to choose which events that they like to go to?
Yeah, they get to choose. They put in a request to the clerk. The clerk brings it to the CA, and the CA approves.
So hypothetically, if everybody wanted to go, we could go.
It is possible.
Okay, just saying. So the purpose of this is just for congressional support or questions and answers?
Congressional attendance.
Have a presence from the congressional office there.
Okay. I have a comment on it. I talked to my cousin Chuck Maker, who's kind of running that out there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she said she didn't come down.
And he said he wanted to invite all the teachers. My comment was, well, I hope you have a large crowd and you can invite and then I guess we also want to go. But usually they want a lot of culture things out there. Language and arts and things.
We don't have their agenda, what their...
I have not seen
their agenda.
You just come by, they told me on the phone. Yes, if I was coming out, and I said, I don't have no travel, I'm just my travel.
And usually it has been something culturally, and then updates from different departments, chiefs go, assistant chiefs go, in the past, but I didn't know if that changed it or anything else. And what our members from Congress were going to do once they were there.
Hey, Chairman, can I chime in?
Yes.
Hey, I didn't hear what Congressman Maker, everything Congressman Maker said, but I heard some gentlemen comments and questions. And my comment to that, we've had a similar discussion before. I think committee that it would be unreasonable if more than three or four of us were out there. And, you know, it seems like the discussion we had in the past, we kind of agreed that if that was happening, we would come together and draw straws or, you know, say, hey, I'd really like to go, okay, it's not that big of a deal, and determine maybe two or three of us go out there. So that's how I recall the discussion being done in the past, and that sounds reasonable, seems reasonable to me.
I believe the only thing that was said last year is that we will not be traveling to Osage organizational meetings during campaign season. We made that last year. Speaker, for the white corner, you had your hand up.
Yeah, what I was having my hand up about.
Thank you. What is campaign season defined as? The year before?
The election year.
The following way till the
election. The
election.
So that's roughly
the spring gathering.
3 months, 4 months.
We can travel, but we can't travel on college campaigns.
Thank you.
Whether you're an incumbent seeking re-election or just a Congress member, I think is a determination we made.
I sent an email out last week when this was brought to my attention about the Northern CA meeting coming up in August, and so far only two conferences are put in for travel. So we'll go forward with these two. Chair, we're going to take motion. I'm sorry.
I have one question. We're looking at Congresswoman Beth Lovehead's.
Yes, I am.
And she has a travel funds available under her.
I believe so. Last I talked to Mr. Potts, a whole lot of, I think the majority of conferences haven't traveled this year. Is that correct? With the exception of just a few.
Yeah.
So chair would entertain movement on Congresswoman Bufflehead's travel request.
Make a motion to approve Congresswoman Bufflehead's travel to Northern California as stated on her travel request, authorized in advance for $1,139.57.
A motion made. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say yes.
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 Yes. Congresswoman Bufflehead's travel is approved by CA. The next item for travel is Congresswoman Edwards' travel to the Northern CA meeting. This is a little bit different because we are using new forms that were approved at the last CA meeting. It's going to take some time to get used to. As you can see, this one is not signed by Congresswoman Edwards, but it is a request for no travel authorization. Our request is for $600. Any questions in regards to this? If not, Chair will entertain a motion for movement on this travel request.
I have a question. I mean, in the past, I mean, usually it's we approve anyone's travel as long as they have the money. But, you know, we do have rules that we have to have some of this documentation has to be signed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, it's okay with everybody else, and it's okay with me, but I mean, I think we do have to go by some kind of rules for this body.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
And there's a request for a loan in here also, $307. Is that accurate?
I'm sorry?
There's a request for a loan of $307 from somebody else's travel fund.
Mr. Fox,
I think it's actually a potential loan of $300 if somebody else were willing to offer that. I believe the email states that if another member isn't willing to do that, it would just be the $307. What she hasn't spent of her $2,100 is
$307.38. Did you say a loan?
We're referring to our $2,100 travel allowance per Congress member. She is over the amount of $307, so that's the loan she is referring to.
Okay, I'm a bit confused. So, on the travel request, is there like some sort of asterisk or something that says requesting a $300 loan from a member of Congress, or what?
No, we're reading an email from her.
Mr. Chair, just to clarify, she's not over the amount just yet. She does have $307.38 remaining of the $2,100 stipend, essentially. So she has not exceeded the $2,100 yet. She still has $307 to go. But the $600 request would require $300 loan, essentially, from someone else's amount.
Is your hand raised, Congressman Walker?
Negative.
Okay. I have a comment.
Congressman Maker.
Okay, you know, we've been over and over this travel thing so many times. And then I thought we had came to a conclusion or a satisfactory something agreement of doing this loan thing of travel funds for different Congress people. But I also thought we also came to the conclusion that as long as there was funds in our the block of money set aside for travel, that it wasn't necessary to use someone's loan, borrowed from someone else's travel funds. Am I thinking, am I dreaming this, or was it, you talked about this before?
I don't recall.
For instance, say someone was traveling somewhere and they get into a situation where they needed money, whatever reason, and they call back here for additional funds, and if the funds are available in that line item, it could possibly be okay or approved, right?
Hey, Chairman, can you give a brief summary of what Congressman Maker just, what he just said?
You want me to give the summary, or do you want?
Yeah, I can hear you better.
I believe Congressman Maker was referring to when a member's $2,100 threshold is met, that Congress member can request funds from another Congress member who has not traveled. Is that correct?
Not exactly. Can you hear me, RJ?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I can hear you.
Okay. What I said was, we've been over this almost every time someone asked for travel and they exceeded their amount. And then we talked, of course, about people who rarely ever travel, and we have those members. And they have, if they know about the situation, they can approve donating or whatever term you want to use to that person requesting the loan, or how we're going to describe this transaction. But I said then, if a congressperson is on travel and they're in a situation, some sort of emergency comes up where they do need additional funding, and they could call back here and ask for some emergency funding, and it has been approved, I know, in the past. So I just think we need to have some kind of rule here someday that covers all this controversy.
I'm going to chime in. Will it be the will of the committee to hold this travel until we get a signed authorization?
Yeah, that seems prudent.
Okay. Well, Chair, I entertain motion for that.
Motion to table the Congresswoman's travel to authorization is signed.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say yes.
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 All right, motion is tabled. Moving on to item number 7, door status update. This is in regard to the door to the common area. We appropriated money for it. A contractor has came over to measure the doors and look at the scope of work. He mentioned that he had to go change the scope of work, go back to Silas and Bruce, and I emailed and got a hold of Silas yesterday, and the status of it is they do have the contractor now, they do have the scope worked out. Now they're in the process of awarding the bid. He said he would keep me updated. I don't know how long that's going to take. I just told him we can't be doing nothing in September. I will keep everyone informed as I get in more information. The next item is the printer. We have Trey here to talk about his favorite printer.
It's pretty today. It's colorful.
Okay, so I was directed by this committee in the spring to talk to our third-party service provider, a company by the name of NES. We purchase or we lease copiers through them, the Xerox copiers. They are difficult to deal with. There's a gentleman there by the name of Danny Schluber, and he's stopped returning my calls, won't email me back anymore. So I've gone above him to...
Yes, sir. Sorry, just for a second. Congressman Walker, can you hear Trey?
Yes.
Okay.
So I've gone above him to Xerox itself, to a gentleman by the name of Walter Johnson. Walter Johnson seemed to be on our side. The issue is that we want the big machine replaced. When we took the lease out, there is a satisfaction guarantee that if the machine's not working properly within a certain period of time, that they would replace it with a comparable machine. It wouldn't necessarily be new, but it would be a comparable machine to our satisfaction, working properly. So Mr. Johnson seemed to be on our side. He put me in touch with a gentleman that is out in Washington, D.C. he described as their problem solver by the name of David Goins. So some time went by, I checked back in. This has been a couple weeks ago. I checked back in and Mr. Goins immediately replies back, well, I thought you guys weren't even paying on the printer. We'd already picked it up. So what he's referring to is OFPR had a Xerox printer that they went round and round with NES about and eventually terminated the contract for non-appropriation of funds, which is allowed under GSA lease contracts. Because of that, Xerox has on our account some sort of asterisk status of account problem. So they won't allow them to replace our printer until that status of account is taken care of, whatever it is. So I've explained all this to Mr. Johnson, I've explained this to Mr. Goins. Just yesterday, Mr. Goins finally seemed to get it, and he asked for the serial number of our machine. So I'm hoping that he is in the process of lighting a fire under someone to get up here and get us a new machine, or at least come to some resolution. Right now I'm just threatening that we're going to terminate the contract if we don't get resolution to the issue. Termination for breach, and we'll just tell them to come pick up the printers. So hopefully by your next meeting I will have more good news, but that's where we're at right now.
Questions?
Would you refresh my memory how long we're under contract with NES for these Xerox?
They vary. I want to say the big one is on an older contract and the smaller one is on a newer contract, but I believe they still have, Shannon, correct me if I'm wrong, somewhere around 2-3 years left.
I think it's two years.
Okay, thank you.
When we looked at it in the spring, it was going to be about $13,000 or so to buy out the contract.
Congressman Tillman.
Thank you. So they won't make a move on this one until that one's cleared up. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
So
they're associating OFPR with us.
With us.
And so I have tried to explain that, and like I said, I think this Mr. Goins, David Goins in D.C., is finally getting it, but we have to wait and see.
Now, there's no local guys you deal with?
The local people are NES. There's no Xerox people local.
Okay.
They have a third-party servicer named NES, and they sell machines. That's what they do.
So this one doesn't work to our satisfaction, and what it says is they would replace it with something comparable?
Right.
And now they're saying they're not going to do that until this one's cleared up.
Right. So we've been more than patient.
Sure, it sounds like. Is this one working?
Well, barely. It puts purple on the bottom.
Our legislation can't look like that.
On large documents, it prints out one sheet or two sheets of paper at a time. So yeah. It takes a long time to process. It just is a tired machine that needs
In your opinion, are we really tied in with what happens there before we can address our issue?
We're actually under separate agreements, but they're calling it one master agreement that had three machines on it. So that's the rub. And so
okay.
I'm hoping that Mr. Goins, because they agreed that the contract was terminated properly and for non-appropriation of funds, that we don't owe them anything. But NES thinks that we do, because they didn't come pick up the machine for several months when they were supposed to, and they think we owe them back lease payments when we shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, the gentleman from Xerox agreed with me that that should be right clean, and we should be able to move forward with our own machine. Getting that actually to take place with a company the size of Xerox apparently is not that easy. So we're waiting to hear what he has actually accomplished.
If we decided to terminate with him, what brand would we go after?
We may still use Xerox through another vendor, but I would probably recommend that we don't. We may end up in litigation if we terminate the breach.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I have one.
Congressman Aker.
Well, to me, you know, we've been going over this for like 6 months or more. And I think we're to the point where, I mean, this is just unacceptable. These documents here with this red, this coloring on the bottom of the page, we just can't have this. I mean, we are the Congress of the Osage Nation, and I think we need to do whatever we have to do to get the new printer as quickly as possible.
I'll be at the next CA meeting. Mr. Gill will have.
Well, I think we'll have a recommendation one way or the other about next.
Where we'll stand? Okay. All right. Thank you for your update on that. Next item is the server update. Now, who wants to talk about the server update? Ms. Walker and Mr. Pops? Or do you both want to do it?
Okay.
Mr. Pops, you have the floor.
Let me jump on that one. Thank you, Mr. Chair. We were notified through the previous clerk that the life of our server was coming to an end. It's not imminent, but it is something that needs to be looked at and needs to be replaced. As a result of that, I believe the previous clerk, which is why Shannon may actually have a little bit more information than I do, reached out to the computer guy who we contract to do all of our server maintenance currently. And we were given two quotes, or a quote, on the cost of replacing that server. Server, as it was presented to me, was anywhere from $4,200 to $5,400. I believe that may actually be the same install. We had a couple of questions for the computer guy that I'm not sure that we have the answer to just yet. But there's also an email that provides a cost estimate for install. So my recommendation is for you all to discuss whether or not we want to make the move for a new server. If that's the case, that's going to cost anywhere from $5,400 without labor to anywhere upwards of $7,000, $8,000 as an estimate.
Something else to keep in consideration is the fact that the computer guy, when I talked to him, I called him because initially I was told that we were almost out of memory on our server. And when I talked to him, we were not as close to being out of memory as was thought previously. However, he did explain that our server is no longer under warranty, that finding parts for it, there might be a chance that if we were about to crash or something or having major issues, there might be a chance that we could find parts, there might be a chance that we could find refurbished parts, but there could be a chance that we can't find any parts at all. Or if we do find parts, it might take 3 or 4 weeks before we can get them here. It just depends on what part would potentially go bad. He said there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with our server at this time, but it's a piece of equipment and we all know how technology is. One day it works and one day it doesn't. He also said that if we got a new server, he would recommend that we have an email system called Microsoft Office 365 system. He said that a lot of servers, the majority of servers now, are set up to where their email doesn't tie directly into the server because that's where a lot of your corruption comes from. So it's a separate system and it costs $5 per email address per month. So it would be around $120 or $100 per month that we would be spending on our email system. But he said it keeps the server protected. It keeps everything more secure. Any email that comes in is coming in through your email setup and not coming directly into your server, so it's harder for people to hack. And that would be his recommendation if he was to replace the server. So that would be an additional cost as well. We would have a $100 a month fee for our email service. That's all the information I have as far as that goes from him. And he said that he would be more than willing to come up and visit with us if we look like we're going to move into a direction that we need to make that purchase. He'd come talk to us and see what we need. He said the price that he gave us would, I explained to him that we're constantly adding to our, to what we have stored on our server, because we have electronic versions of everything in the way of communications and legislation and things like that, and that it's, none of that is going to be deleted off of there. It would just continue to build. And so he made sure that he priced us something that had a large memory to where it would last us through the next 4 or 5 years before the warranty ran out again.
Any questions for Ms. Walker or Mr. Potts?
Yeah, I've got a couple. and you may have touched on it, but may have not heard it before, but to what extent have we looked at maybe going to, you know, some sort of cloud, like especially like Google or something like that? Seems like it's a continuing problem. And, I think especially for us, there wouldn't be that many users that may be a viable possibility.
I believe we have some cloud storage. I don't know exactly the extent of our cloud storage or how that works. I think that would be something that would be better discussed with Jeremy.
Do you have another question, Congressman Walker?
Well, yeah, I would like to know what's available, because I don't know that, you know, it's my understanding that, I mean, there's big corporations that are using, like, Google Cloud or some sort of off-site storage capacity that suits their needs, and since we're not set up with the nation's server, I think that may be a good option for us, without being that familiar with it. I think we at least should look into it.
Okay. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, just because I don't know, I understand what you're saying, and I think it's a good idea to look into, but I still, just with my mind, tech mind, I'm still thinking that we're going to still have to have our own server to some extent. We may not need one that has 2 terabytes or whatever, 3.6 terabytes, but I still think that we're going to need a server, even if we do cloud computing and cloud storage. Is that correct? Does anybody know?
I'm pretty sure everything is backed up on the cloud, but you still have to have, my understanding is you still have to have a location outside of the cloud that things hit before it goes to the cloud, but everything is backed up there. But that is, like I said, that's more of a discussion that Jeremy would have to, that's his expertise, not mine.
That's kind of my understanding also.
Okay. Congressman Maker.
Well, I thought that last time we talked about this, we did discuss about going with the tribal server because it's more convenient. We have our IT department can come over here anytime we need them, but with the private server we have now, it's like he comes from Bartlesville, right? And doesn't work on weekends, and there's times when he can't come here.
That is very...
It's
been my experience, and Jeremy Tolbert's been very responsive to us, and most of his work can be done remotely, what he needs to do with our server. I don't think we've ever called Jeremy and not had good response to him from him since I've been here looking at that. So.
And if he personally has not been able to be here, he has sent one of his employees. There's been mornings that we've been here at 7:30, and his employee's been here to meet us so that he could make some adjustments that needed to be made. But very rarely have we had any issues that Jeremy could not take care of remotely.
So if this is contract is up, is that what it is? Is it a yearly contract, or how does that work? Is it a 3-year?
This is not about his contract, it's just about the server itself. I believe that's what Mr. Paul was talking about. If we want to spend up to, what, $7,000 approximately for a new server? Ms. Walker?
I know that we have talked about going back to the Nation server in the past, but I also vaguely remember, and I could be wrong, but I remember a meeting in the Commons area that we had with members of the IT department, and I want to say that we were told that it was going to cost close to $20,000 for us to switch back to their server because of the fact that they were going to have to completely set up and reconfigure us with a new setup anyway. So there is, I mean, it is an option that's available, but if I'm remembering correctly, it's actually a more expensive option than what we're looking at with what we have. So it's completely up to this committee, but I just wanted to interject that information.
All right. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Go ahead and take it, Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have Xerox that we're working with over here, and we're in a bind with them. I've never heard of this person. I was glad to hear you say that he was, but you just look on paper and it says the computer guy, that guy. And it's Sand Springs?
Company name.
Is it, computer does guy. He have, how many employees?
I think he has three employees, I think. He's a small
entity. How long has he been in business, do you know? Or?
I don't know, but he's been our IT guy since I've been here.
Have we shopped it? Have we looked at it? Is there a procurement process that we do?
Mr. Gill.
We did put out bids for we got one bid from the National Postage Company in South Carolina. I believe that was actually just for the service, not for the service. To get with that, I've got three responses. It's far away.
How long ago was that that you put out the bid?
I'd say a year ago.
A year or so. I don't know about new bids being put out.
No, we consider this when me and Eli first.
Right. I believe that was a year ago because I remember the bids you're talking about.
It was during that time we were having the discussions with the IT department whether to go back on the Nation server or to continue doing business the way we were. So we did put out bids for a contract company to maintain our server here.
Yeah.
And so, but I don't think that this has been put out for bid, the actual.
Right. Congressman Maker.
Maybe we need to catch Congressman Tillman up on the reasons why we wanted our own private server over here. And he may not know the reasons for that move to separate us from the tribe server. Does anybody recall that? The reasons why we wanted our own server over here?
Mr. Gill.
I'll take a stab at it.
I wasn't here when they decided on that.
Yes.
My recollection is that then Congressman Standing Bear at the time was unhappy with and concerned that the executive branch was possibly tampering, but at least looking at the emails of the members of Congress and knowing information that was going back and forth between members of Congress. So in an effort to separate ourselves, we had to go off of the Nation server and get our own server. And I believe that it went totally through Congressional Affairs and got approved. That's when we brought Computer Guy in. I think we had to do it on fairly short notice, and there was a lot of technology that we had to buy all at one time. We had, it's about the same time that the iPads were purchased for the members of Congress, and some of the computers had to be upgraded, so we, that's what I remember, that's how I remember.
I'm sure there's more, but that's kind of a brief update of where we're at in the server. Congressman Whitehorn.
I have one more question, really targeted to what we're doing. Budget analyst, do we have, is there money available right now in the FY16 budget in any lines that we could modify out to handle this between now and FY17?
Yes, there is money that is potentially available to move. It depends on what the priorities of the Congressional Affairs Committee are for the rest of this year's expenses. It is prime time to budget for this for next year. It's easy to put that into the budget for next year if that's something you want to look at moving forward. But no, there are funds that could be made available in this year's budget.
Congressman Tillman.
Thank you. Is there any conflict, I mean, funds available for what you want to do with the printer, the server? Do we have funds available to do it all this year?
Depends on what the priorities of the Congressional Affairs Committee are. There's not money to do everything that is desired, but it depends on what actions are taken and when they're taken.
Do we know which one would be the highest priority right now? But
I would venture to say, without speaking to the clerk, that your printer is going to be a higher priority. You've got to have clarity in legislation and everything that you're printing for legislative sessions.
So just saying that we could, so if that's a priority, we say it's a priority, and then we could budget for the server next year? Would that be?
Absolutely. Depending on the negotiations with Legislative Council and the Xerox, there may not be a cost. There may be a cost. I'm not sure where we're at really on that. So it may be that through negotiations, you end up getting a new copy machine, which solves that problem, and then there are plenty of funds available. It could be that we end up having to buy out of our Xerox contract, at which point there would be a strain. So it's difficult for me to kind of say with absolute certainty right now, yes, you can pay for this and this and this. Yes.
Ms. Walker, you had your hand up?
I was just going to address, too, that with the printer, there was a point in time where the previous clerk had looked at the possibility of going with another company besides Xerox, and it would not have required additional funds above and beyond what we pay monthly to Xerox. And if we pulled out Xerox's contract, we would have just signed a new contract with the new company, and I believe it was actually comparable in price, maybe even a little bit cheaper to go with the other company that she was talking to. And so I concur with Mr. Potts that it kind of depends on what the scenario is that we would face. And
included in that option, if memory serves me correct, I would need to go back and look at that. But that did include just a straight buyout of the Xerox contract, which is the $13,000 or $14,000 amount that we've been tossing around. So it depends on the direction that the Congress wants to take. And all those numbers change depending on how you would like to act.
Any more comments or questions?
Yeah, I've got one.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so to the talking about prioritizing or you know what we can afford. Now, as far as funds being available, is that funds available in that particular line item, or would that be funds available period, considering we do have the ability to do a budget modification?
Mr. Potts, you want to answer that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Congressman Walker. No, the funds would be available in the professional fees line item and would need to be modified out of that line item to most likely equipment acquisition. Currently, I think there's $9,000 roughly available in equipment acquisition. We'll touch base on that a little bit later. So no, the money's not currently in this line item.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Walker?
Yeah, I think so. I had a hard time barely hearing what he said. Did he say that there's not the funding available in that line item, but there's $9,000 available in professional fees?
So just looking at it, there is currently $9,900 available in equipment acquisition for the remainder of this fiscal year. If we were to make any move for purchasing a new server, I would make some form of recommendation, again, depending on what the Congressional Affairs Committee says, to pull that money out of professional fees, because it looks like you're going to end up with a surplus in professional fees for the course of this year.
Well above $9,900, I think.
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Now, something we need to consider. I mean, we need them, we need them. Yep. You know, we get in the middle of session or something like that, something crashes the course of work.
Congressman Tillman, you
thank you. How much is in professional fees currently?
Currently, right now, a remainder of $144,000 is in professional fees. There are
16
for fiscal year 16. There are expenses that need to be taken out of that and need to be accounted for.
Do you have a number on that?
A rough estimate on that, with everything that I think we're going to end up needing to take out of that, you're going to have around $103,000 in surplus. And that's not accounting for anything additional that needs to occur. Or that could occur for the remainder of the fiscal year.
We're trying to make it to October 1, correct?
Correct.
How much have we used in professional fees so far?
In professional fees so far, $144,272.
In 10 months. So I don't anticipate using all.
There are expenses that
I think I have one that I can shoot to.
That could, and if it's something I haven't seen, then that would definitely change numbers.
It might be, I'm not sure.
But what I have on record right now would take us to around $100,000.
Left?
Yes. After we pay everything.
After we pay everything, so.
But any unforeseen expenses would change that amount.
You could make a budget mod, pay it all, and get sturdy for session, and copies and servers and everything else. Right?
I'm always cautious about pushing it to the limit like
well,
that.
Well, we're only talking a maximum of 13 here and 9 here.
Yes.
So if you used all that, that'd be 21,000. You still have 80 grand left limp towards the end of October? For a month?
Ms. Walker.
Mr. Claus and I were having a conversation yesterday about the server situation, and one thing to keep in mind is that we discussed a little bit is that it could potentially be that we would pay for the cost of the server itself, but we wouldn't incur any cost for labor or anything until FY17 due to the fact that the server would have to be ordered, it would have to have all the stuff programmed into it, I would not suggest it be installed until after the fall session. So we could potentially pay for the server up front, pay for that. That would be an option, and then the labor would be something that would hit us in FY17 as well. That's another thing to kind of consider and throw around.
Okay, can I jump in right there on that?
Yes.
So the labor is not going to take place until after the fall session, into FY17.
Potentially.
But we can encounter those funds, right, up until December 31st?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that'd be good.
There's another option.
That's a real good point.
Any more questions or comments? Seeing none, that's something to consider. Moving on to item number 8, Hoss.
Can I ask one question about that item? Which one? So, about the server.
Yes.
So, I think that this committee seems like they're thinking really seriously about it. Is this something that we should solicit bids for and make a motion here so they'll have something when they come back to look at? Is that what this committee wants to do?
That's something that we can do, and it might be more appropriate to get there when we talk about the budget. Because I believe if we would do that, we'd need a budget modification. Mm-hmm. Is that correct, Mr. Potts?
You wouldn't actually need the budget modification
to solicit bids.
Until really to pay bid bill.
Okay. So we could make a motion to solicit bids for a new server?
I just think that you're going to have to do that, correct? Are they going to have bids for that?
I mean, we already used the computer guy for, I IT services.
So quite possibly we wouldn't have to.
So I think we could make a pretty good argument that we purchase it through him because he's the one that knows our system is going to be installing it.
That makes sense to me.
And knows all of our equipment, but if you feel more comfortable doing it, that's okay by me.
I was just curious what we needed to do.
Right, so anything we can do to minimize our budget for next year, I think we need to take a close look at, right?
Right. Did you have your hand up, Councilman Tillman?
Thank you. If we did put it out for bid, he could obviously rebid and be right there. He may be one of two or three. I would say he would be the favorite leader in the clubhouse if just to cover us if we need to put it out for bid. He would understand that. I know where you're going with this, and he could rebid.
But we also use his service, and we don't want to have him serve somebody else's server. I mean, he's our guy. We did put him out for bid.
Mr. Gill.
I mean, I think if we bid it, we would bid a specific piece of equipment, whatever he's telling us that we need.
Right.
Okay.
So he could still install somebody of the actual server itself. I was just saying if we were going to put it all as one package, then people would already know everything about us and all of our systems.
Sure.
So puts it at an advantage.
Ms. Walker?
I will note that Jeremy does order his stuff through Bell, and that's who the nation orders their items through as well. So he's using Dell as his source for the server as well.
So is the committee clear that we need on that, on the server, where we're at on it? Okay. Next item on the agenda is policy updates. I have Shanna here to talk about policy updates. Before we get there, Chair, we're entertaining motion for a 5-minute recess.
So moved.
Second. All in favor say yes?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. We're going to recess for 5 minutes.
What are the advantages of...
Hey, you can call me back.
Yes, Congressman, we can call you back.
Yeah.
All right, great, thank you.